Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study, and we just want to thank Dave for that first service. If you missed it, you really missed something good, fabulous. It's kind of ironic that Dave, when did I ask you this? Or when did you volunteer to? About 3 or 4 weeks ago, okay? So there he is. I've never asked what he's going to do. And now he's talking about something important. And then I picked mine about 7 weeks ago. So what I'm going to do today. And all of a sudden, it's going to be the same. Sign scriptures. Do what, Trish?
Are you on?
Yes, I'm on.
Okay. Well, battery must be dead over there, so just speak up, please.
Let me cut. How about that? Turn. What about your volume?
It's not on. Just speak up, please.
Is the yellow light on over there?
By the way, I flunked diagramming. Three times. That scares me.
Go back to
God. Okay. And all of a sudden, we're going to be talking about the same scriptures. Is that not ironic? The Lord has a need for someone to hear this, and it's an importance that needs to be brought out. Somebody in here needs to hear the simplicity of the gospel. And he made it so nice and smooth. It's the simplicity of the gospel. But I want to go into something. He didn't go into depth on it, but I want to just explain something. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Let's just talk about that real quick. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is the word of truth? Well, that's the question. What is the word of truth?
The gospel of my salvation.
It's the gospel of your salvation. No, it's not the Bible, guys. All the Bible is the words of God. And all the Bible is truth. But in Ephesians, how about going to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13? Let's see what the word of truth really, really is. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, as we're going over there, you know, we're missing a lot of people today. We need to be praying for these people. Bernice South, I went over to visit her as we're going to the scripture. I went to visit her, and she had went to the hospital in the emergency room the night before. She needs your prayers really bad. Nanette, I just talked to Carl, the lady that he comes with sometime, drinks. She had a gallbladder removed, back about Thanksgiving?
Yeah, just about 3 weeks ago.
She's sick, real sick, with something like maybe COPD, maybe the flu, maybe pneumonia, we don't know. So she needs your prayers. I've got an individual in op right now. He's got something, he's got everything. He's got his bowels. He was a former Church of God minister. And I've told you about him, he has took his ordination certificate and sent it back to Cleveland, Tennessee. So I don't need that no more. I found the piece that Dave was talking about. Now, he found it 6 or 8 years ago. But he's in dire straits. I mean, he really helped us. So we have, as you know, in a grace movement, without youth, it dies. That's what's so important, little Leland being in youth. Okay? You need youth to come so they can take our place. Teaching and preaching and just showing up and being ambassadors and getting saved. So just remember that.
Donna
Anderson, she's not here today. She called Carol this morning. What is it, 7:45? She's been going through some additional, I won't say chemo, but something similar. It may be classified as chemo, but she's having some good responses from the new treatment that she's going through. But we're all aging. So just remember that. We're all going to be in this situation one day, probably. Yeah. Unless the rapture takes place. And hey, bring it on. I do have something that Dave has. Do you have it? It's the joy and the peace with God that I can't go to hell.
health group.
You heard that. Can
go to hell.
What? Because I trusted in the only way of salvation, that Christ was crucified, that he was buried, that he was resurrected to pay for my sins, to justify me, justification. Romans 5:1, I believe. Now, we know that we're in this dispensation of the grace of God. We know we are saved in the body of Christ, which is a spiritual, invisible church. We know it did not start at Pentecost. I'm going to address that again. I'm hoping to get to something that I had fixed. We're going to talk, though, first. Ephesians 1:13, to finish my statement. The word of truth, it's very explicit. You don't rightly divide the Bible. You rightly divide the word of truth. Here it is, Ephesians 1:13. In Christ, the last two words in 12, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Then it's set off in a clause between two commas. The gospel of your salvation is the word of truth. It just said so right there. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. All the words in this Bible are true. All of them are not written directly to you, but they're written for your learning and your admonition. But once you rightly divide the word of truth, which is what? Romans 2, Philemon is where it's found. It's found by your apostle, Paul. Then, by rightly dividing the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, out from all the other gospels, there's about 10 more in there, then what happens? The Bible divides itself. Once you see what the word of truth is, and you find out where your salvation, the only way to salvation, the way to salvation, then the rest of the Bible just opens up. And you're going to start seeing these dispensations Dave was talking about. The dispensation of innocence. Can you imagine? Oh, you're guilty. And so am I. We don't have that age of innocence that Adam had and Eve had for a little while. But then it rocked on, and then after they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God told them in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, don't do it, told Adam that. It was his responsibility to tell his wife, just like it's your responsibility to tell your wife. The thing is, she disobeyed. But in that age of innocence, it must have been bliss. But you know what? You've got something right now. And it's called your position. In Christ. There is an age of innocence. Did you know that? There's not a sin here whatsoever that God sees. Is that not innocence? He can't see a thing because it's all covered by what, Richard? The blood. Wow. That gives me chills to think about that. But if you don't, honestly, if you don't have the peace in you, it's not a feeling now. It's a no-so salvation. If you don't have that total peace that when you go to sleep or you die in the Lord, go to sleep in the Lord, that you're going to be with the Lord forever, you've got a problem. That's where this joy comes in. I've heard people say, well, I'm saved, but gosh, I've got all these problems. Well, no. You ain't got no problem. You're going to live until you die. You are. So let's just face that fact. You're going to live till you die. Now, our position is in Christ. What does it say? Let me go over here. Let's just read it. Boy, it's quiet. Now, I want to tell you, you can comment. Feel free to. Feel free to ask questions. Let your feelings be known. Okay? Just because we're broadcasting doesn't mean you can't speak up. Because there's somebody maybe that's going to be listening to you ask the question that they themselves can't ask us over the internet. So think of it as a positive thing. Yes, Joe?
We're justified and our position is where it is because we're sanctified. He set a society.
We're set apart from the rest of the world. Set your mind on heavenly things, not earthly and worldly things, because this is a temporal state that we're in. I look out there, Mary Lou. Are you cold?
Yes, I am. I think this is just coming right at me, because of where
you
I'm
should sitting. Say something.
But I've got a coat on. That's why I put it on. Thanks.
What do you say to somebody, Byron, when they ask you, where was God when all the children were shot? And
well, that's really what I was trying to look up.
Because I had that asked to me when I was in Kentucky. We sat up to 4 o'clock in the morning discussing the scripture, and I didn't know how to answer that question.
Well, I am so glad you asked, but if you saw me back there trying to look up something on my phone.
I know there's something in the scripture.
Here's what it's at. Now, you got to ask yourself. I'm going to address it right now because this guy on the internet last night that I know, he wrote a great article. And because people think God's in charge down here. And that's what those people are thinking, Carl. They think God's in charge. How can he let all those 20 children and those 6 or 7 or 8 women, men, adults in that school get killed?
That's just what that lady asked me. I know her and her husband. I worked with both of them at the plant for 15 years.
Yep.
And she is saved and he is not. And we talked until 4 o'clock in the morning about scripture, and I did not have an answer for her.
Why does people die of cancer? Why do they kill themselves? It's Satan's in charge down here. Just think of any kind of evil thing that you possibly can. God doesn't stop it. Go over to Galatians, would you? Let's hit Galatians 1 minute. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins. Where did he do that at? On Calvary, as we just looked at it. Why? That he might deliver us from this present evil world. That's the answer right there, according to the will of God and our Father. This is a present evil world. You have a free will to do what you want to do. Satan, unless you're saved, and even after that, you're still in the old body that's tainted with blood that's sinful. And you got that from your great, 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 how many times removed, granddaddy Adam. And we know death was passed upon all men for all have sinned in Romans 5:12. So it's evil. God lets this play out. Now, he's not going to let Satan actually kill you for something that you have done. In other words, like, God's not going to strike you dead because you cheated, okay? You're not going to do that. God is ultimately in charge of everything. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And it will be carried out. Now, in this present evil world, what's taking place? Satan is in charge running around down here, deceiving and manipulating any and everybody he can. God let him do it. He sure is. Because we know, and Satan knows, He's running rampant. He's already saw when Christ was crucified, that didn't do it, but when he was resurrected from the dead, that just killed the thought of death. Because there is life everlasting. Yes, Richard?
You know, the verse of scripture in 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. And it says, oh my goodness, for some reason my mind went blank. But anyways, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And so, in other words, the idea is that people get confused. They love this world, and they love this life, but Jesus Christ, God says, don't love the world, because it's this evil present world, and people don't see it as evil, and then they're shocked when they see stuff like this happening.
It's going to happen.
And so he says, don't love this world, and it's not of the Father. It's clear cut. It's not of it. But they think that it is. They've got it completely in reverse. And you know, that's the reason why he said, set our affections on things above and not on things beneath. And that's where the problem is. Why don't see it.
Yeah, Trish?
Yeah, men today, human beings, have free will. I think that, you know, people just want to blame God because they want to blame somebody for something bad that happens instead of, you know, blaming the person, the physical human being that actually did it. You know, it's sad, but like you said, it's a present evil world and it's only getting worse. And the only thing I can do is rejoice that Christ gave us this dispensation of grace to allow us to be saved so that whenever we do leave this world, we'll be delivered from it and be in His presence.
Joe?
This is for the evil world because Satan is the god of this world.
Absolutely.
He tempted Jesus. He had that body to him everything. It was his, so he's playing like a piano.
People don't want to believe that. I've heard that, oh, God's sovereign. God is, he's in charge. No, he's not. He's giving Satan free reign to run around and wreak havoc in your life. In anybody's life, he possibly can. Yes, Dave?
And that is extremely important when you make a choice. See, you can't choose God unless there's an alternative.
You can't serve God and mammon both. You just can't. Just said it a while ago. We're sanctified. We're set apart from the rest of the world. Remember, in Christ is your position. Nobody can take that away. God can't even deny that. Satan can't touch this, but he can wreak havoc in your life. And matter of fact, he can distort you to the point where you want to go serve not the Lord. He can take that away from you. And I know that. Because how many times, you can ask yourself this, about yourself, how many times once you got saved, it may not be many, but are just going to be some that you should have been witnessing or being an ambassador or teaching. If that was your calling, but you denied that, you went out and you, whatever you did. Yes?
I wanted to, here's a verse of scripture too that I thought is really good. It's talking about Paul, of course, some of the persecutions and the problems he had in this life. He says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, and all of us are going to die, and we have the sentence of death in us also. And so when we look at this life as something other than what we should be living at, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. So in other words, we're just in a constant, we're in a world of sinfulness, where the Lord is constantly delivering us out of situations. And so we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes, we're saved by grace. Yes.
By that heinous act and other acts such as that, Satan achieves his ultimate goal, and that is getting certain people to question God and to either not believe in Him or turn against God, and that's Satan's ultimate goal.
As many as he can on the way out.
He knows he's defeated. The Bible tells you he knows he's defeated. But he's going to take as many as he can down the tube. And if you're saved and he's working on you, the fact of it is, he can't take your salvation away, but he can create some havoc that will destroy your witness. And you're not affected for the Lord, even though you're saved. It's wood, hay, stubble at the judgment seat of Christ. gold, silver, precious stones. Which one are you going to do? You can have a lot of what? Wood, hay, and stone if you follow Satan. You can do good works out here. But the fact of it is they're going to burn up. But you will not. You're going to be tried. Your works are going to be tried by fire. And you won't lose your salvation. You just won't have any crowns or rewards to offer the Lord.
What's your motivation?
Yes. Good point. What is your motivation?
I gave these people your telephone number and your website.
I was hoping they'd come in down and call me.
That was somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was another group that we had discussion with scriptures, but not before.
Now, of all the saved people in here, really, of all the saved people, do you believe that God's in charge down here right now, totally? Or do you believe Satan is? Yeah. I mean, that's a real question.
Yeah. So that's the problem with a lot of people.
They don't know. If they claim to be saved, are they resting on the finished work of the cross? Or do they know about this present evil world? I said it before, I say it again. Set your mind on heavenly things, not on earthly things, because everything you see, touch, and feel is temporal. You're just a pilgrim passing through this earth. I believe you're in a training program. I do believe that.
I want to make a comment, too.
Sure.
A lot of people think this is Christian American, and the Republican Party is the Christian side of America. It's not. And so, you know, that they don't understand both parties are under Satan. Understand.
All of us. Joe made a good point. He said, and it's true, it's scriptural. Satan is the prince and the power of this world. It is. That's what he's doing. But I want to give you an example of what I think. I don't know if anybody gets the Santa Rosa Gazette in here. But we were looking at it, and I looked in where all the church stuff's at, which we're going to be placing an ad in. But I've been seeing this ad, and it says we have a Bible class that meets at 10 o'clock on Sundays in Pace. And what we've been doing, we've got a guy, we've been touching bases with grace, always got grace on him. You really got to watch a church that says they're grace. That sounds strange since we're grace believers. Grace Community Church out of Sun Valley, California. We're requesting a seminary graduate with a master's degree to come over here and set up a church so we can be preached to. And guess what? He's going to be teaching something wonderful. Hermeneutics! Yeah. Oh my gosh! I'm not going to talk about it. If you want to get into depth with it, talk to Richard over there about Hermes. Exegesis. So I called him. I've been seeing it for weeks. So I decided to call him and invite him out here. Well, I got the guy and we talked. And I softened him up a little bit, you know, to begin with. He was kind of abrupt, but he seemed like a very nice individual. When I say his heart's in the right place, he wants to further the teachings of Jesus Christ. But not through the Apostle Paul. He said, I set up a church down here in Fort Walden, and now that guy, that's been years ago, he said the seminary, they're trying to get this guy that's preaching down there to be a graduate of their seminary. Well, they believe that the church, the body of Christ, started at Pentecost. Not at the cross, but at Pentecost. 50 days later. No, it didn't. So we talked, and we talked for about 45 minutes. And before it was over, he started asking questions. And I got to tell him this only. Well, I'm not even going to go into the fact that he needs the right book. But Grace Community Church. The man knows what he's even talking about. So you've got to be aware of someone that puts grace in their name. Just like this. There's a church in Ott, out in the country. Kind of like Hickory Hamlin now, Independent Baptist Church. That's a large church. Not in town. I had a pastor call me up last week and he said, I met that guy's wife. The preacher's wife. And he said, I asked her, or I told her, he said, you know that Jesus came on into the Jew in his earthly ministry in Matthew 10. And she said, no, I ain't never heard of that. He thought he came to all of us. That's the preacher's wife. They got a superb their grace truth. And they preach grace. Until you get right down to the end of it. He didn't have a choice. His daddy passed it on to him. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have a choice. He didn't ask to be born in that family. But he's a sinner. By birth. So everybody comes into this world as a sinner. Now, Paul says, of whom I am chief, the foremost. Because, could he be the worst, considering that guy that went crazy up there and shot all those kids? I don't think Paul killed 26 or 27 people. Pretty bad. Verse 16, 1 Timothy 1. Howbeit, for this cause or this purpose, I obtain mercy. Have you at this moment obtained mercy for you being a sinner, born into sin, or doing sins on your own volition? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Have you right now obtained mercy for being a sinner? I have. I see some of you saying, yeah, they've been. They know they were a sinner. They obtained mercy. And Ephesians 2 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Whose faith? The faith of Jesus Christ. That's whose faith. You have faith in the faith of Christ. But it's His faith that saves. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not works lest any man should boast. You can't work for it. And that's just so simple. We cover these scriptures week after week after week. And people still don't see it. They don't understand it. It's just so simple. They ain't me first. Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering or patience for a pattern of them which should hereafter believe on Him to their everlasting life. Now, Paul, as you remember, I said, Paul was the first person saved into the body of Christ. The revelations that saved him came from the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he turned right around and he started teaching that. But not right then. It's not a point today of when he started doing it, even though I believe it's Acts chapter 13. But that's not what we're trying to prove today. I just want you to see that he delivered the same thing that Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, delivered unto him. And he is the apostle. He is our pattern. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what Mary's supposed to do. We're supposed to show and witness and be ambassadors. You know, we spend so much time, I'm guilty. I mean, we spend so much time in our leisure activities, or things we enjoy. Should you not enjoy some of those things that you worked hard for? No, you can enjoy some things. But why did you get them? The Lord bestowed those things on you. And you know, when you look it up, I've heard people say, well, you know, that's a blessed family. Look at that car. Look at that beautiful home. And then you take me. Or you take somebody else who lives out here in a little bitty trailer. What? Just no bed but hardly than this just to get in to sleep. Is that person in that mansion or more blessed than that person in a little RV? No. Has nothing to do with material things. You're blessed with what? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Not anything on this earth. If you've got good health, that's wonderful. The Lord shows you not to smoke. I did that for 20 years. The fact of it is, He said, don't smoke. Well, but he said, he didn't say, I take that back. He didn't say don't smoke. I'm telling you don't smoke. Why I don't smoke? Because you're harming your body and you're allowed to have get cancer in the lungs. Do you have to smoke to get cancer in the lungs? No. But your probability of getting cancer is much better if you do smoke. Does somebody have to tell you not to drink and drive? I've done that. Don't do it anymore. Don't even drink. The fact of it is, I can get killed driving. So the Lord, when he says, all things are lawful, he meant it. But he gives you common sense not to do certain things. He wants you to be blessed in heavenly places, with spiritual things in all heavenly places. Other people, they may come down with something. If people die of the flu right now, we've got a flu epidemic, you know that. There's certain things that I do to keep from getting the flu. It's just like there's certain things I do, like trusting in the Lord here for my salvation. Now, certain things I do to prevent the flu. Well, can you prevent from going to hell? Can you stop from going to hell? Yeah, that's under your control. You know that? It's your control. God's not going to direct you to say, that takes away your free will. The will of the Father is that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. The will of the Father is that all men be saved. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Now, I want to be healthy while I'm alive. Even though I got a little tub here, I still want to be healthy. So, you do things to help yourself. Somebody could look at me, I'm 65, and they could say, well, you know, I know people that's 40 that's not as good a health as you. Well, maybe they did some things and never give it up. You don't know. You just don't know. But I am a blessed individual. There's no doubt about it. I've taken some measures that I believe inertly come from the Lord through me to do for myself. So I can teach the Word, share the Word, be an ambassador. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to share the gospel with a guy. Trish was down at Kia. She bought a car yesterday. Okay, and I was down there for about 6 or 7 hours with her during her negotiations. Now, here's the thing. It took 7 hours, okay? Nothing of it. I had an opportunity to witness to her sales. And he listened. Now, whether he's going to trust the Lord is a different story. I don't know. But you take every opportunity that you can, as Dave said. He says, do something nice. Don't let nobody know about it. That's a very good thing. But if they do find out about it, tell them about the Lord if you can. That gives you one moment of utterance that you can tell them how to be saved. I'm telling you, you ain't got to go into nothing. Because I believe once you plant a seed, as Apostle Paul did, and Apollos come by and water, I believe the Holy Spirit will come by, if nobody else does, after you plant the seed, and will water it, and will convince that person of their need of a Savior. You just tell them this. That's going to get them to thinking. They're going to accept or reject. You can't save everybody. As a matter of fact, you can't save a soul. But you can plant the seed that the Holy Spirit and God give it the increase that can save a soul. Preachers don't save anybody. Bishops don't save anybody. Ambassadors don't save anybody. Teachers don't save anybody. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts them and God give it the increase. Let me move on here. So, if you want to try to follow the doctrines the Apostle Peter preached to Israel, then you're following a doctrine that's not for, as Dave said earlier, not for this dispensation, but it was correct right here. And it will be correct here. But it's not correct here. I wish I could draw a skull and crossbones for that, but that's really what it is. It's poison for you today! It's just like taking and drinking mercurochrome. It'll kill you. That gospel will kill your eternal life. Is that, but when you think about like that, oh my God, arsenic. Bible says, bring up your children in the admonition and the nurturing of the Lord. And a lot of people take that seriously. They do. I'm bringing up my kids in the church. But what kind of doctrine are they being brought up in? The parents are thinking they're bringing them up in the proper doctrine. I know they do. If you're in a Pentecostal church, you're going to have that little kid speaking tongues before long. If you're in a Catholic church, they're doing a sign of the cross and the rosary beads and you name it. They're hanging on to the Virgin Mary more than they are Jesus Christ. But the people think they're doing the right thing. They don't know. They're following that priest, that rabbi, that pastor, that teacher. And it's wrong. When the Lord said that, He meant bring them up in the proper doctrine per the dispensation you're involved in. And we're only involved in one. And it's called the dispensation of the grace of God. Or A-C of God. We're not in the, we're not under the law. We're not in conscience. We're not into human government. None of those things. We're into the dispensation of the grace of God for us. What being taught during this time? It's the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of the grace of God, which is crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead for your justification. There is no other way. The only way, the absolute, yes.
I would say just don't add to it. You don't add anything relevant.
Don't add one thing to it. Now, I'll tell you. If a pastor is saved, I won't talk about a pastor. If a pastor is saved and he preaches anything other than this, when I said if he's saved, I really mean that. That he's trusted this. But for his benefit, his worldly benefit, because it surely is not for his spiritual benefit, teaches anything else to add to or take away from the gospel that he saved yet, and him knowing the truth. Oh, has he got problems at the judgment seat of Christ? I believe, this is just my personal belief, this is not scriptural. I believe that guy is in worse shape at the judgment seat of Christ than anybody. Worse than any murderer, that's saved. Because if you're a murderer or a rapist or a whatever you may be, convicted, you're still guilty. You're the judgment seat of Christ. That pastor that knew the truth and refused to is in worse shape than that murderer or that rapist. Because God sees none of their sins. It's a shame when we die. When I heard the local vicinity, the local area. But the only way to be saved is through the teachings of Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God, that's a capital G, one God. We know God's not the author of confusion, so he spells it out. There is one. And one mediator between God and man, he tells you that nothing's left to chance. It's real. Anybody ever read any of the Quran? Yeah, you know. They know who Jesus Christ is. They don't believe he's the Savior. One God, one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. Who? Jesus Christ gave himself for a ransom. Ransom had to be paid. For all will be justified to be testified in due time. Whereunto Paul says, I am ordained a preacher. Do you know what he's saying here? He is so overjoyed by being called as a chosen vessel to become a preacher and an apostle. He says it more than one time. He's just ecstatic with it. Now, this is one of his pastoral epistles, okay? He is just overjoyed. He said, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. And a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, which is truth, verity is. Now, Paul, as we found out, he is sent to the Gentile. The apostle of the Gentile. But let's see, what about Peter? What about Peter? How many Gentiles did the Lord send Peter to? One. So the churches in the world, the Lord sent to one, and now the churches of the world, the denominational system, one is to follow the Apostle Peter, repent, be baptized for remission of sins. But he went one. Who was that? Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, that's where he went. What did he preach? He preached the same thing that was in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why he told Cornelius. About who in Acts chapter 10? I absolutely love the Bible. I love Acts. I mean, because I can look at Acts and I can see the pre-prison epistles. I don't see the prison epistles or the pastoral epistles written by the apostles. There is a difference. We'll cover that at another time. If you're supposed to work righteousness, go around with your people and write down on a piece of paper so we can talk about just exactly how much righteousness you did do this week. What's your plans? What's your strategy for working some more righteousness next week? Because it's not for us. That's what the deal is. Goodness gracious. Verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Now, what's that word? Verse 37. I say, that word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism John preached. He talked about that this morning. John preached the baptism. What was it? It was the baptism of repentance. Who did he go to? He went to Israel. He didn't go to no Jew. I mean, no Gentiles. We talked about this morning that Jesus was baptized by John, who was his cousin, by the way, because Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. John appeared 6 months prior to Jesus here, because he was 6 months older. And we prove that by the scriptures. When Jesus was born, and really when John the Baptist was born. Right out of the scriptures, so I don't have no problem with that. But, baptized in the River Jordan. River Jordan. Let's see what John said. Okay, going to John chapter 1. We're trying to make a little contrast between what Peter talked, what Paul talked, a little different way. John chapter 1, verse 31. John the Baptist said this, I knew him not, but that he should be made, that he should be manifest to Israel, appear to Israel. Therefore, am I come baptizing with water. He was a precursor. So he baptized Jesus Christ. And what happened at that point? Jesus Christ went out into the world. Matter of fact, this is where he started his Galilean ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues. Did he go to anybody else? And preaching the what? The gospel of the kingdom of heaven is what it is. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff in here in that one verse. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the future kingdom, the thousand-year millennial reign that he is going to preside over in Zion and Jerusalem. But why was he healing all these people? Well, there ain't going to be no disease in that thousand years. Everybody's going to be perfect. And to get them ready for it.